All right, guys, you are Locked On Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today is a Free Agent Friday where I will be breaking down the potential targets for the Atlanta Falcons at the cornerback and guard positions, as well as talking about the bevy of moves that they made on Thursday to bring back some special teams players.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP, still going strong on Twitter at FalcFans, and, of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. In today's episode, we are going to be continuing our Free Agent Friday series, which we now have done for the fourth week in a row. If you missed the three previous episodes, they were episodes where we looked at a specific position group and sort of outlined the possibilities, the players that the Falcons could potentially target, who was the stronger, weaker parts of each free agent class. We did the edge rushers group, we did safeties, and last week we did running backs. And I couldn't decide between corner or offensive guard this week, and I decided, you know what, let's just do both. But before we sort of get into the possible options and targets that could be on the Falcons' radar at those two positions later this month as free agency kicks off, we're just only a few more days away, 5 days, in fact, from teams officially starting signing free agents, but only 3 days away from teams being able to, quote unquote, legally tamper with players and start negotiating contracts. And so, before we get to that part, I do want to talk about the moves that the Falcons made on Thursday, in which they re-signed a bunch of exclusive rights free agents, including kicker Younghoe Koo, edge rusher Jacob Toody-Mariner, cornerback Tyler Hall, and wide receiver Christian Blake. And you could certainly look at these moves as sort of procedural moves. It is notable to me that the fifth exclusive rights free agent that the Falcons have in tight end Jaden Graham did not resign today, but maybe that move is coming over the weekend. But for those that don't know, exclusive rights free agents are those players that have had their contracts expire, but they only have two or less years of NFL experience. And essentially, teams sign them to 1 year veteran minimum deals. And those players are going to be making roughly $850,000 this year, which is the veteran minimum. And then next year, with the exception of Hall, all of those guys will then become restricted free agents, assuming that they're on the team. So, you know, keeping all four of those players, five if and when they resign Graham, was part of the calculation I did on yesterday's episode when I talked about the Falcons needed to get at least $15 million under the salary cap to get all the moves that they needed to get done. And that was including signing, you know, their exclusive rights free agency, these veteran minimum deals. Notably, I think all four of the players that were kept had prominent roles on special teams. Jaden Graham also had a prominent role in special teams. Koo's role is obvious. Jacob Toody-Mariner led the team in special teams tackler, and Blake and Hall both served as gunners on the punt coverage team for roughly half the season. And this goes back to something I discussed on Tuesday's episode when discussing that you shouldn't be surprised if special teams players are prioritized as re-signings over some of the more prominent players that are impending free agents for the Falcons on offensive defense, just like it was back in 2015 when Dan Quinn took over. And the reason why is, when you really think about it, when a new coach comes in, a new regime comes in, they're often going to make significant changes to the offensive and defensive schemes, and you won't necessarily have players that are clean fits in those changes. They could be night or day different in terms of what the scheme is asking them to do. But when you look at special teams, there's far less change with a new regime. You're not like you're completely bringing a new scheme. If you play special teams for one team, more than likely you can play special teams for any team in the league. So it makes sense for the team to, you know, retain the special teams players, you know, over some of the more prominent offensive and defensive players. Two such candidates on defense are DeMonte Casey and Keanu Neal. Reports came out on Thursday that the Falcons or are planning on allowing Casey to test the market. Keanu Neal tweeted out a somewhat nebulous tweet that strongly hinted that he will also be allowed to test the market. And this goes back to something I've said for several months now, which is I think the Falcons are going to likely let most, if not all, of their 17 unrestricted free agents test the market next week. And maybe we get some word over the weekend that a couple of those guys resigned, but we saw a similar thing happen again back in 2015 when Dan Quinn took over, where the Falcons had something close to 20 unrestricted free agents, and I believe only like six of them were resigned, and only four of those guys wound up, you know, making the team later that fall. So you shouldn't be that surprised in the slightest that we might see well over a dozen of the Falcons' current free agents walk, and you might see you're more likely to see players like Justin McCray, Luke Stocker, Bleedy Ray Wilson, and Steven Means being retained over some more prominent players like Keanu Neal, Alex Back, Todd Gurley, DeMonte Casey, etc. Also worth noting, our good friend over at The Athletic and Jeff Schultz reported on Thursday that the Falcons have not yet approached defensive tackle Grady Jarrett about restructuring or extending his contract. We talked about this a bit on yesterday's episode when we sort of breaking down how the Falcons can get under the salary cap before next Wednesday's deadline. And I kind of speculated that the one option would be for the Falcons to extend Jarrett. But the fact that we hadn't heard it at that point, because it takes time for teams to work out these extensions, probably indicated that they were not on the verge of getting an extension done. And it seems like Jeff confirms that. As far as the restructure getting done, like I mentioned on yesterday, and I was able to confirm this, that teams don't have to ask permission to do max restructures on players' contracts. They only have to sort of submit in writing to the player that they're going to do it, but they don't need necessarily approval from that player. So I wouldn't necessarily be too concerned that the Falcons at this time haven't done a restructure of Grady Jarrett or haven't, quote unquote, approached him to do a restructure. As I outlined on yesterday's episode, breaking down how the Falcons can get under the salary cap, it's essentially something that has to get done. It's just really going to be a matter of timing. And so what I expect, what we'll hear, is a deluge of news over the next 3 to 4 days about the Falcons' moves that they will wind up making, including several restructures, including Grady Jarrett's deal. So I would say be patient and we'll see what happens. You know, if we get to Tuesday and we haven't heard anything about anything, then that's when I would start to panic a little bit. But with that being said, that's sort of the update on the news, and we'll see sort of what, you know, happens over the weekend. If anything major happens over the weekend, of course, I will be here on the Locked On Falcons podcast to give you whatever updates are necessary. But the rest of today's episode will be devoted to our Free Agent Friday portion, and we will be talking about the cornerback group coming up on today's episode. But before we get there, I want to let you guys know that Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NFL might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, NHL, NASCAR, and FCS college football are all in full swing. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine, because Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Again, sign up today at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So it's March, and you know what that means, March Madness and Bracketology, and it's time to find out which is the best Built Bar flavor. All month long, Built Bar is unveiling their bracket for the best flavor with daily matchups between the top flavors, and you can pick yours at BuiltBar.com. In case you missed it, Built Bars are the best tasting protein bar on the market, and they're not just tasty, they're healthy too. They're low in sugar, low in calories, high in protein, high in fiber. Build your own bracket or vote for your favorites by heading over to BuiltBar.com, and make sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. Today, we're kicking off our first Sweet 16 matchup with Churro Puff going up against Cookies and Cream. Go pick your favorite at BuiltBar.com, and when you do, make sure you use that promo code LOCKEDON20, and you'll get 20% off your next order. So we know it's been a tough year. And today on the Locked On Today podcast, it's the 1 year anniversary of the NBA shutting down due to COVID. And we also know that an NCAA team is forced to sit out the tournament due to a positive test. Get more of the sports news that you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow Locked On Today podcast on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. So what are the Falcons' plans at cornerback this offseason, particularly in free agency as well as the draft? And I'm only guessing here, but I think the way that the draft typically sets up, where there is a premium place on outside corners in the first two rounds. If you look around the NFL, most starting outside corners are first or second round picks. And it makes sense for the Falcons that they should find their CB2, their number two outside corner, to play that right cornerback spot in free agency, and then probably use the draft to find a nickel cornerback, because you can typically still get quality nickel cornerbacks in rounds three or later. And I think you want to see the Falcons upgrade their right cornerback position with a veteran player, and then have a rookie come in and push and compete with the likes of players like Isaiah Oliver or Kendall Sheffield, who have both shown over the past 2 years that they're probably better suited to playing inside than being outside cornerbacks. And I think you're probably then looking at a stopgap at that outside right cornerback spot. While Dean Pease does have an aggressive scheme, it's not as hyper aggressive as other schemes around the league, like Don Martindale's Ravens scheme or Brian Flores' Dolphins scheme, where you kind of really need to have two bookend elite man coverage corners on the outside so that you can blitz the crap out of teams. So I don't think you need to have that sort of premium at for the Falcons scheme to be functional. And so I think what you're kind of looking for is similar to what we got out of Darqueze Dunard last year, but instead of getting that in eight games due to injuries, you want to get that over 16 of over a full season. So obviously that does make Darqueze Dunard an option to resign, but we won't focus too much on him on today's episode. And I feel like the price range that you're looking for is similar to what I would expect the price range for a player like Darqueze Dunard to be, which is probably signing a guy to a 1 year contract worth $3 to $5 million. And if that player winds up performing in 2021, then that player could potentially get rewarded with a more lucrative long-term deal next offseason when the salary cap presumably rebounds. And if not, then you can move on, and you have the flexibility that if you find out that you need to make a major upgrade at the cornerback position, you can now invest that early round pick into that position. So we'll see if that's the approach that, you know, Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith will have this offseason. Longtime listeners know that my assessment of how the team should build their roster or evaluate their roster often conflicted with how Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn saw things. And one of the more exciting things about this upcoming offseason is whether or not to see if my personal philosophies start to mesh a little bit better with this new regime. So we'll see how that goes. But let's sort of talk about some of the options available for the Falcons that could be sort of that stopgap option on the outside. And let's look at first at the players that have some connections with this coaching staff, having played for one of the team's current defensive coaches at some point in the past. Probably the highest ranked guy on that list is Troy Hill with the Rams. He does turn 30 this August, but he's been a solid number two these last couple of years with the Rams, and especially this past year showed some inside outside versatility, primarily playing in the slot for the Rams this past year. So that gives you some added versatility in that regard. So I think Troy Hill probably is the top option for the Falcons this offseason in that role. You probably, the next person on the list is maybe a guy that's a little bit younger. Terrence Mitchell for the Browns turns 29 in May. He is sort of the definition of a journeyman player. If the Falcons were to sign him this offseason, it would mark, they would be his sixth team that he has played on in 8 years going back to 2014. Then you have a bunch of sort of veteran guys that are 30 or up that could certainly bring some steady veteran presence. You got Jason McCourty with the Patriots. He's turned 34 in August. Pierre Desir turns 31 in September, had a very rocky 2020 season with the Jets, but could use a fresh start here and was very good a couple of years ago in Indianapolis. Janoris Jenkins, who was just recently cut with the Saints, is age 32. And Malcolm Butler, who was just recently cut by the Titans, is turning 31 or just turned 31. But I do wonder, some of those guys, particularly Jenkins and Butler, probably are not going to settle for a cheap contract in the price range that I outlined earlier. I think if you're looking for that price range, maybe McCourty and Desir are better fits there. And also, while I mentioned earlier that I think the Falcons could prefer a rookie to come in and compete for that nickel slot corner spot, if they did want to go with a more familiar face, a veteran player in free agency, I think they would have plenty of options. Brian Poole's out there, Desmond King, LaMarcus Joyner was recently cut by the Raiders, Buster Skrine with the Bears, Vernon Hargreaves with the Texans, Sherrick McManus with the Bears. All of these guys have past connections with this Falcons coaching staff and are, you know, primarily nickel corners, slot guys that could certainly upgrade that position and give you a lot more value than maybe Oliver or Sheffield bring or a rookie would bring in that regard. Another player that has a coaching connection with this current staff from his past days in Tennessee is none other than our favorite backup in Bleedy Ray Wilson. So I do think Bleedy Ray Wilson could be one of those backup players, backup free agents that could wind up being retained. Another couple of players that are worth noting that are potential starters on the outside that have connections to Kyle Smith from his days in Washington, where he scouted and drafted these guys in Washington, are Quentin Dunbar with the Seahawks and Brashad Breeland, who's now with the Chiefs. You also have Fabian Moreau, who's with Washington, and he was kind of a forgotten man in D.C. this past year, but also has that versatility where he can play inside or outside as well. Obviously, those aren't the only names out there on the market. You have some bigger name guys that don't necessarily have those coaching connections that the Falcons could pursue. Some of the biggest name guys, particularly if the Falcons were willing to actually spend at this position, you have William Jackson for the Bengals, Shaquille Griffin for the Seahawks, Ronald Darby with Washington, and Michael Davis with the Chargers. Also, going back to the point I made earlier, where they could go after a veteran player, maybe a guy that's on the wrong side of 30 that could provide that veteran leadership given the youth that the Falcons are likely to have at the cornerback position again this year, and you want to get that sort of mentor type. Obviously, Richard Sherman's at the top of that list. Xavier Rhodes is there. Jason Verrett, Patrick Peterson, and A.J. Bouye. All of those guys are going to be on the wrong side of 30 when this season starts, but bring a lot of experience to this group and could certainly, you know, show some of these young guys the ropes in that regard. And again, I think when we talk about possible slot options, there are plenty of good options. You could certainly make an argument that the relative strength of this free agent cornerback class is in the slot. From some of the games I've mentioned, some of the names I've mentioned before, like Desmond King and Brian Poole, you also have Mike Hilton with the Steelers, Nickell Robey Coleman. Obviously, I think Falcon fans would have a lot of fun with that, given his more infamous history with the New Orleans Saints, Mackenzie Alexander with the Bengals, Kaywan Williams with the 49ers, and Cameron Sutton also with the Steelers. So I think there are plenty of other options out there that I didn't mention on today's episode that the Falcons could target at cornerback, but I think most of those guys are probably more backups and special teamers, including guys that have front office or coaching connections. You know, some of those guys aren't particularly good, like we're looking at you, PJ Williams, with the Saints. But certainly I think the Falcons will have some options if they want to go with a veteran route, and I think it makes a lot of sense for them to do that this offseason. But we'll see, again, if Terry and them, you know, agree with me on that assessment and they decide to attack this position and fill the needs in free agency. And we'll wrap up today's episode by switching gears back to the offensive side of the ball and talk about some of the guards. I don't think they're going to have nearly as many options at the guard position as they do at cornerback position. You know, I think it's certainly a buyer's market at cornerback, but may not be the case at guard. And we'll get into exactly why that is coming up to wrap up today's Free Agent Friday episode on Locked On Falcons today. But before we get there, guys, I want to let you know that recently I had to get my brakes fixed and a taillight replaced, and I wound up paying a lot more money than I wanted to. When I saw the receipt, I was kicking myself because I knew I could have saved a lot of money had I just gone to rockauto.com. They have everything from engine parts, motor oil, new carpet, as well as the brake parts and tail lamps that I was looking for. I could have gotten everything I needed in a few easy clicks delivered directly to my door, and you can too, because the rockauto.com catalog is unique. It's easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose by brand, specification, and the prices that you prefer. And the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. The same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Just go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car, truck. Right, Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box, so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So betting on football doesn't have to be a guessing game. And if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, you can get daily picks, blowout specials, and Lee's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. So Joe Tooney, let's talk about Joe Tooney. And obviously he's a class of the free agent guards. If you've listened to this podcast over the last few weeks or months, you're well aware of me pining for Joe Tooney. I think he's a perfect fit in my opinion, but he's certainly not going to be cheap. Could the Falcons afford to sign Joe Tooney? Yes, I think it is possible. The salary cap is a speed bump after all, but you would have to sort of structure it in a interesting way, creative way, where you would probably have his cap hit in year one be exceptionally low, and then the cap hits would spike in the subsequent years after that. And this is essentially what the Saints did in order to fit Jarris Byrd under their salary cap oh so many years ago. And I know that's obviously an infamous name and an infamous signing because it did not work out in the Saints' favor, but I think that had a lot of issues, and I don't feel like you're going to have that risk factor with Joe Tooney. So even though that move didn't work out for the Saints, in theory it could work out under different circumstances, and I think, you know, I would love to see that theory be put to the test this offseason as in regards to the Falcons. But obviously, because of the Falcons' limited cap space, they can't get into a bidding war for Joe Tooney. And as I've outlined in the past, it's very likely that Joe Tooney will have many suitors this offseason, in part due to what we're going to talk about later today, which is you don't necessarily have a deep, deep roster of guards, particularly at that left guard position. So I think if the Falcons cannot find a way to land Joe Tooney, the quality of their options take a steep drop at the left guard position. One notable player is Matt Feeler for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He did play left guard for them this past year, but he wasn't quite as good in that role by all accounts as he was the previous year when he was playing right tackle. And I imagine some team is going to want to go and sign him to play tackle for them, and that may price him out of Atlanta. And even though I just said, well, the Falcons can afford to pay a guy like Joe Tooney, I don't think you necessarily want to pay Matt Feeler in a situation where he's going to be wind up playing the second best position that he is at guard. So I think the way it works is it's not necessarily that tackles are more expensive than guards nowadays, at least when we talk about their ceilings, because they're all getting paid, you know, 13, 14, 15 or more million dollars. But I think the floor for a tackle is higher. Like, you can realistically probably get a low level starter at guard for like $3 or $4 million a year, which I think is probably ideal for the Falcons if they can't land a guy like Joe Tooney. But if you're trying to get that for a tackle, that's probably going to be about $5 to $7 million, which I think is probably going to be a little too pricey for the Falcons. And so even if Feeler doesn't get a lucrative contract this offseason, I think he's probably going to price himself out of the Falcons market. Other players that you, similar to Feeler, that you could wind up signing that would technically be playing out of their ideal positions would be Austin Blythe with the Rams and Ethan Posich with the Seahawks, both of whom have guard experience but have played their best football, particularly in recent years, playing center. So those are two options, but again, not ideal. So if the Falcons can't land one of those four guys, you know, I think they're probably most likely going to have to settle for someone like a Nick Easton or Quentin Spain. Nick Easton was a utility backup for the Saints the past couple of years, has that connection with Terry Fontenot, was a functional fill-in starter this past year at right guard, sort of platooning with their rookie and Cesar Ruiz. You know, Quentin Spain did start in Tennessee at left guard for a couple of seasons, and I think probably would be the preferred option among these two. Easton is probably better served as an insurance policy and really a backup center in case Matt Hennessy falls flat on his face this year, but does give you at least an option to potentially start at left guard. I know a lot of people out there sort of pine for Forrest Lamp because they still have those 2017 draft dreams, where a lot of us, including myself, were very high on Forrest Lamp and really wanted the Falcons. I wanted the Falcons to use their number one pick on him instead of Tack McKinley. But the issue with Lamp is that he spent his first 3 years injured, and then this past year when he was healthy was not good. And so I think if you're going to sign a guy like Forrest Lamp, you're basically signing him purely as a backup or a camp body that can come in and compete for a job. But by no means, I think, are you even penciling him at the top of the depth chart based off of his 4-year body of work. A similar thing goes for Lane Taylor, who has battled injuries extensively the past 2 years, but prior to that was an effective starting left guard for the Packers, but there is a buyer's beware. Again, it's a similar option to what I talked about earlier this week when we talked about Kyle Long on Wednesday's episode, who has now unretired and has also dealt with injuries a bunch over the last 4 years. So even though Long is, when he's healthy, is one of the better, has been one of the better guards in the NFL, if you do sign him, there is some risk involved because you don't know if he's going to be healthy this year. You know, as far as other options available for the Falcons, you're probably looking at some guys that have been recently been cut. Kevin Zeitler stands out. He's been a rock solid right guard over the past decade, was just recently cut by the Giants. He's going to be 31. You could probably still land a decent contract just because, again, the market for guard is not that high. And I could see a team that's really desperate to upgrade their right guard position going out there and paying Zeitler a healthy amount of money, even if it's only for a 1 or 2 year sort of short term situation. So I don't know if the Falcons will be able to wade into that conversation. Cineo Calametti was cut by the Texans, basically served as the Nick Easton before Nick Easton was there in New Orleans as sort of a utility backup that can play all three spots on the interior, has shown himself to be a serviceable starting left guard. And similar to what we talked about with Easton, could be a sort of a backup placeholder until you draft a better player. Other players that are out there potentially are Trey Turner, who's being shopped by the Chargers. And if they can't find someone to trade for him, I am pretty confident that they will wind up cutting him. But the issue with Trey Turner is, like some of the other players we've talked about, he has struggled to stay healthy in recent years, and he's not really an ideal fit in the outside zone scheme. I've also seen rumors and reports that the Eagles are shopping Brandon Brooks, their right guard, but his contract, unlike Turner's, I don't think is one where if they can't find a trade partner, they're going to be able to cut him. He did tear his Achilles last summer. He's dealt with some personal issues in the past due to anxiety. But outside of those two issues, he's been a lights out, one of the best guards in the NFL. He's a great scheme fit. He played in the outside zone scheme under Gary Kubiak in Houston before he went to Philadelphia. And if there was some possible way for the Falcons to free up the $10 million that they would need in order to acquire him via trade and fit him under the cap, I think he would be personally a great pickup, you know, even despite the fact that he'll soon be 32 years old. But again, one of the best guards in the league. And if he's healthy this year, you know, even as a 1-year stopgap, that would be a coup by the Falcons. But I just don't know if it's really in the cards unless the Falcons can somehow agree to the terms of a trade and then somehow be able to get him to restructure his contract and sign some sort of contract extension that has, like, I don't know, voidable years tacked on to the end. So it would be a very convoluted process. It could happen, but probably not going to happen. Another name worth keeping an eye on is Roger Saffold, who various articles I have seen suggest could be a Titans cut. The Titans don't necessarily need the cap space, but this has been a crazy offseason so far. So there is a slim chance that the Titans could decide to move on from Roger Saffold. And if they do, I would expect the Falcons to you know, rush to try to get him signed, because I think that would be a sort of a perfect fit for what the Falcons are looking there. Other veterans that are on the bubble that could be cut, some of these guys are also being shopped, are Andrew Norwood with the Jaguars, Justin Pugh with the Cardinals, Alex Lewis with the Jets, and Laken Tomlinson with the 49ers. So we'll see if those guys, any of those guys, get cut over the next couple of days. And I think really ultimately it boils down to that even if the Falcons do land one of these veteran players on the free agent market, particularly these guys that are going to get cut, almost every single one of these guys are 30 years old or older. And so essentially all of these guys are going to be sort of 1-year stopgaps. And I think the Falcons, regardless, are going to have to try to look to draft his heir apparent or and or his successor this year in the early to middle rounds. So basically, the way I see it as far as the Falcons guard situation and approach and free agency, you know, option plan A is sign Joe Tooney. plan B is probably signing one of these veteran guys as a stopgap and then drafting a player. And of course, you know, plan C could also be the alternative, could be not signing anybody and just drafting a player. So that's also on the table as well. Although, you know, I don't think that's the ideal scenario, at least as far as I'm concerned. But again, Terry and them might feel differently on that regard. So we'll see how it plays out. Obviously, this is going to be a even busier, you know, it's been a busy week. It's going to be a busier weekend. And Monday, when we come back, we will be doing a mock draft Monday as well as a Monday mailbag. So if you have questions, if you have feedback that you want to provide, of course, hit me up on Twitter at Locked On Falcons, on Facebook at Locked On Falcons, or you can send an email to LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. It's going to be a busy couple of days, a lot of news dropping, probably relatively more quiet with the Falcons than other teams, but we'll just sort of see what happens over the next couple of days as we get geared up to what should be an exciting week around the NFL. Well, remains to be seen how exciting it's going to be for the Falcons, but we'll just sort of see how it all plays out, guys. So I appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Until then.